Father, speak through me, bless through me, touch through me, transform lives through me. I am only a vessel in your hands. Use me. Without you, I can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in our month of prayer, and we are doing 6 hours a day of prayer for 30 days. And I want to announce that from Monday, we have the last 11 days of the prayer. And if you have not been coming, I want to encourage you to join this prayer. It's from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. And I want you to see you come here to pray. To encourage you to pray, today I'm speaking on the subject, prayer according to Jesus. Prayer according to Jesus. The seven principles of prayer as taught by Jesus. But let me try to show you the importance of prayer and to help you lay the strong foundation for the position I'm going to take today. Now, we all find ourselves in what we call an atmosphere. Now, this is an atmosphere. If you go to another church, there is also an atmosphere. God, in his wisdom, created different things and put them in different atmospheres. For human beings, he put us on earth and created gases around us. So around us is nitrogen that has 78% nitrogen on earth, and then 21% of oxygen. Now, I started thinking about the importance of oxygen when I had COVID and I almost died. And I had to be on oxygen. When my lungs were too weak to breathe, they had to put oxygen on me. I started appreciating God. Also, the Bible said that, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, you are alive because God consistently and constantly supplies oxygen. So you are not alive because of your effort. You are alive because God created a certain atmosphere, put you inside, and put life-supporting gases around us. What a God we serve. Life-supporting gases around us. When you are taken from here and put in water, you are going to die because water does not have the gases that you need to be able to survive. Okay? So the origin of life, the source of life, is God. Now, just look at this drawing on your screen now. So God gives us lungs. The purpose of the lungs is to be able to breathe in this oxygen around us. Right now, as you sit here, you are able to breathe in. I wasn't able to breathe unless I was on oxygen mask. Because my lungs were weak and I was going to die. But so this is the human body, and I want to use the drawing of the human body to communicate a spiritual truth to you. So this is the human body, and then you breathe in oxygen through your lungs. Okay? Now the oxygen has a lot of benefits. For instance, it produces energy because the oxygen aids in breaking down food and it supplies, the food supplies energy. So all the dances we're dancing here and jumping here and all those things, it's not because you are young. It's because there is oxygen in your body. If you lack oxygen, you can do that. When I couldn't breathe, when I couldn't take in oxygen, I could not take even 3 steps. What a wonderful God we serve. Everything points to God. The God factor is crucial. The oxygen also helps you to take away from your body anything that is wasteful. Okay? So God has put a system in place to allow you to continue to live. And that's why you must worship him. That's why you must be very humble and serve him. Oxygen also supports our immune system. Our immune system, we are able to fight diseases and sicknesses because of oxygen. Then oxygen also helps in healing and growth. Then oxygen also helps your mind to function. Now, the Christian life is a spiritual life. But we can use physical things to communicate the spiritual truth about the Christian life. The oxygen around us can be likened to the Holy Spirit. I've always said to you that God sets standards for men. And when God realized that men cannot meet his standard, he provided us the enablement to be able to meet the standard. One of the enablements God provided was the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be likened to the atmosphere, the oxygen around you. And your lungs, your prayer life. The more you pray, the more you breathe in the spiritual oxygen, which is the Holy Spirit. The more you pray, the more you breathe in. The more you pray, the healthier your spiritual lungs, which is prayer. Your prayer life is what enables you to breathe in the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So keep this at the back of your mind, that the importance of prayer is that it keeps you alive spiritually, because it allows you to build a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. The better relationship with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So that's divine enablement. I am able to preach to you and share the gospel with you because I have the Holy Spirit. The more I relate with God intimately through prayer, the more I allow the Holy Spirit ways in my life. Now, it's not like God poured a little of the Holy Spirit and the more you pray, the Holy Spirit increases. No. The Holy Spirit is already around you. But like, you know, there are places that even though the oxygen is there, the oxygen can be contaminated. You can create a toxic atmosphere where even though oxygen is available, but what you are breathing in is not pure oxygen. When you don't pray, when you don't create a Christian atmosphere around you, toxic people will be around you, and the time you realize you are not benefiting from your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you here with me? So prayer is crucial. Prayer is important because it allows your spiritual oxygen, the Holy Spirit, to get into you. The more you pray, the more you connect with God, the more you build an intimate relationship with God, you become alive. And you see this life in every aspect of your life, in your marriage, in the works of your hands, in your relationship with people, you realize that the Holy Spirit is helping you to be alive. And you will also notice that all the people around you are also becoming alive. When you look closer to the people that are very close to me, the gentlemen serving in the school and those serving in the church, you see that people are becoming alive around me because I am alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit is helping me. The more I pray, the more I stay alive. And that is why you should pray. Now, you get the same benefits that oxygen gives your body. You get the same benefit. Oxygen gives you the same benefit. The Holy Ghost gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you the same benefit as oxygen will give you. For instance, the Holy Spirit enables you, energizes you to overcome sin, to overcome your weaknesses. The Holy Spirit energizes you. The Holy Spirit helps you to disossify your life, get rid of bad character, sin, and other things. The Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit supports your spiritual immune system so that you are not attacked. Your Christian life becomes healthy when you pray and the Holy Ghost begins to fill your life and take over your life. Your spiritual immune system is strong. The Holy Spirit heals you and helps you to grow. When you are wounded, when you are hurt, when you are walking in unforgiveness, it's a sign that you are not spiritual enough. The Holy Ghost, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are able to let pains, hurts, and other things go. And you grow in the Spirit. You grow in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit takes over your mind and you begin to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. Your mind is a central nervous system. It determines your action. It determines the way you react to things. It determines the way you interpret things. When the Holy Ghost, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, when you create the atmosphere through prayer where the Holy Ghost can take over your life, you think like Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. I have built my life around prayer. You heard a testimony of my son, a young man who grew up in Adabraka with no hope. But here I am. This is where I stand. Honored by great men, valued by great women across the length and breadth of this country. Why? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I got to that point in my life where I realized that my only hope of living and surviving and becoming successful will be determined by my relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't pray with a primary aim of becoming successful. But when the Holy Ghost takes over your life, He builds your life in such a way that you automatically begin to put out success behaviors. The Holy Spirit enables you to make right choices, make right decisions, build the right connections, so you become successful. And it is called good success. You don't have to cheat anybody. You don't have to defraud anybody to become successful, because the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. But the Holy Spirit wants to meet you in your prayer chamber. The more you pray, the more you connect deeply with the Holy Spirit. And the more you connect deeply with the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit enables you to live the God kind of life. Can I tell you something? Listen, man is a three-dimensional being. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. Now, when your spirit gets powerful, your spirit begins to control your soul and your body, you begin to function the way God wants you to function. So focus on growing your spirit. The Holy Ghost will help you to grow your spirit. We spend over 90% of our time trying to please the flesh. This will go back to the dust. It's the most useless of the three dimensions that you have. It will go back to the dust. When you die, you leave this body here. The rest, your spirit and soul will move on to stand before the judgment seat of God one day. Anytime I go to the bathroom, I'm taking my bath, I ask myself this question. This morning, have I bathed my spirit in the word of God? Anytime I'm dressed up, sometimes I ask women, how many hours did it take you to fix your hair? And then they said it took me 3 hours. And then I asked them, how many hours did you pray today? How many hours did you fix the hair of your spirit? And they are stunned. This morning, having prayed, having said, I said, you are spending more time on your flesh. This, you will leave it here on earth. Your soul will stand before the judgment seat of God. And for you to be able to build a stronger powerful spiritual life, you need an intimate relationship with God through your prayer life. Do you understand? Through your prayer life, the call to prayer is a call to grow in the spirit. Prayer must be as regular as the way you breathe. You consistently need the Holy Spirit around you to be able to lead a successful Christian life. So what then is prayer? Having established the importance of prayer, allow me to share with you my personal understanding of prayer. I believe that prayer is a love communication. Love communication. Love communication. Because Jesus introduces himself as the husband of the church and the church as his bride. In the Jewish custom and tradition, the groom pays the bride price for the bride and leaves the bride and goes to his father's house to prepare a place for the bride. And he goes, and after several years will come back to take his bride from the bride's father's house. Lord Jesus came and died on the cross for us. He paid the price for you. He's gone to his father's house to prepare a place for you, his bride. And he's going to come back to take you. So right now, you are engaged to Christ. You have a love affair with Christ. You are Christ's engaged bride. And we are waiting for the greatest marriage feast ever, where Christ comes to take the church. But when you are engaged and you are waiting for the groom, you keep yourself pure for the groom. You keep yourself pure for the groom. I'm waiting to hear the sound of the trumpet where the groom is arriving to pick the bride with him. In between the times, Jesus has offered you an opportunity to be able to communicate with him. And if in every relationship, especially love relationship, the foundation of every love relationship is communication. Speaking to the person you love. Listen. A few years ago, one of the telecommunication companies in Ghana, MTN, started free midnight calls. You remember free midnight calls? Yeah. Who were you calling at midnight? The young people waited till midnight. They never slept. Waited till midnight to start calling the people they love. And they can talk from midnight to 4 a.m. Oh, 4 hours of, and you don't even feel it. When Pastor Titi Ofe was dating Edith, I noticed something. Edith can visit Pastor Titi Ofe from morning till evening. They will talk and chat. Then in the evening, Pastor Titi Ofe goes to drop Edith. And then he comes home to me. Immediately he gets to me, whilst he's talking to me, in less than, whilst he's coming from dropping Edith, I'll try to reach him and he'll be on the phone. And I just felt, okay, they are still talking. And then he will get home and come to me. And whilst we are talking, calls are coming through. And he's looking at him, puts it down, say, who is calling you? Edith, eh? He said, yeah. I said, okay, pick it. They'll pick it and say, oh, I'll call you back. I'm with my dad. Then WhatsApp will start following. Because if you love someone, you want to talk to the person. You want to have long conversations with the person and you don't get tired of talking to the person. Recently, mommy was away with the children on just about 10 days holidays. And we called, we spoke like 3 times a day, 5, almost every hour. I'm calling her, just checking on you. Is everything fine? Is everything going on all right? If you love someone, one of the most important evidence of your love is communication. It's communication. If a guy says, I love you, and the guy doesn't call you the whole day, 2 days, 3 days, and then he calls, oh, I'm just calling to check on you. I hope you are fine. And then you say, fine. Then he puts the phone down. You feel unwanted. You feel, what kind of thing is that? When I was dating mommy, it was the same. At that time, there were no mobile phones. There were only landlines. And I lived in the boys' quarters of a doctor at Kolebu Teaching Hospital. And do you know what? Mommy leaves home around 7 a.m. to work. So where mommy lived, they had a landline. Around 7 a.m., I will go and knock at the doctor's door so I can talk to mommy before she leaves. Now, call Olivia, how are you? I'm just calling to check on you. I hope everything is fine. I hope you slept well. And sometimes you see the doctor is very angry. But still, the next day, I will go. And then usually I would get a bus that would pass in front of her office on my way to our church office. And once I see their office, I will tell the bus, I will get them here. Please drop me. And I will go knock at the office door and she will open and I will talk to her and she'll say, my boss is not happy. You are coming here too much. My boss is not happy. Wait, when I close, I will see you. I say, well, I can't help it. I can't see this building and knowing that you are here and still go. It is only when I get down that I remember that I do not have money to continue the journey. And then I will do the rest on foot. I will do the rest on foot. And immediately I get to the church's office. I talk to my senior pastor. Can I call Olivia? Then I will call Olivia, talk to her. And then while the meeting is going on in the church office, and I said, I will still leave almost every hour. I wanted to speak to her. Then eventually we got married and I went to Germany to study. At that time, the Germans were using Deutsche Mark. I didn't have money. I was a student in Germany. I was on scholarship. I didn't have money. But do you know that every day I called mommy for 12 Deutsche Mark? And it was for only 3 minutes. For 12 dollars, but it was only 3 minutes. And I called her every day. I borrowed money. I got money from my friends. Every day I called her. Every day I called her. I was in debt. Calling this girl. This babe. This nice girl. And I think that the secret of our 31 years marriage is because we communicate a lot. We talk a lot. Now, if you love God, prayer should not be a burden. Why should talking to somebody you love become a burden? If you love God, prayer should not be a burden. It's a love communication between you and someone you love, the Jesus you love. You should be able to communicate with Jesus on a daily basis. You should actually be talking so much to someone you love and others will begin to protest. You are talking too much. Do you understand? So don't forget the 12 Dushmark story. I did this. I think that if I were not calling mommy every day, I could have bought a new car. But I spent all the money in making phone calls. Now, having established the importance of prayer and the definition of prayer my way, now let's look at Jesus on prayer. The 7 things Jesus spoke about on prayer. Number one, that prayer should not be a public show. Prayer should not be a public show. Matthew 6 verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So, Jesus came at a time that the Jewish community have lost contact with God. For 400 years, there was no prophecy, there was no connection with God. They have turned their worship into rituals. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes have taken over the worship of God, and the worship of God has become just a matter of religious rituals. And to be able to marry, to be able to get a job, you must pretend to be very religious. So people did their relationship with God in the open. You have to pray somewhere for somebody to see you. But you see, when you are talking to someone you love, it mustn't be a matter of show. It must come deep down from your heart. That whatever I'm saying, I mean it. So here's the story. When we were young couples, Teshi, Mobi and I had an argument overnight. And in the morning, we were cold. You know, the cold war. Yeah, so I was greeting her. She won't mind me. She's talking to me. I won't mind her. And then my spiritual father, surprisingly, came to visit us that day. Immediately, I saw him. I said, oh, daddy, welcome. Please come inside. We gave him a chair. And then I went inside. I said, Olivia, he says, I'm going to bring Olivia. So I went and said, honey, daddy is here. Come out and meet him. She looked at me like this. At this stage, my communication with her had become a public show. Because we were not actually talking. Why are you suddenly talking to me? Because your spiritual father is here? You want to pretend we are talking? Okay, let's play this game. So she comes out, greets my spiritual father nicely, and sits down. Started engaging my spiritual father in the conversation. When I talk to her, she won't respond. When my spiritual father talks to her, she will respond. Oh, she didn't like a hypocrite husband. You can't be quarreling with me, and suddenly your spiritual father comes around and you are pretending we are fine. We are not fine. Let the whole world know that we are not fine. Do you understand? Let the whole world know that we are not fine. Well, I don't know how many days you have prayed this week. If your prayer this week is at church, you are behaving like me. When my spiritual father came home, you are trying to pretend you are the spiritual woman and the spiritual guy we can depend on. But yesterday when you were alone, did you talk to God? On Friday when you were alone, did you talk to God? On Thursday when you were alone, did you talk to God? On Wednesday when you were alone, did you talk to God? Now that you are in public, you are suddenly letting us feel that you are nice with God. I wasn't nice with Olivia. But I wanted my spiritual father to feel we are okay. As a matured man, he saw it. So when I was going to see him off, do you know what he said? He said, whatever you have done to that young lady, go and apologize. You are not on good terms. I told him, daddy, we are fine. He said, no, don't give me that. You are not on good terms. Go back and talk. Some of you, I see you and your wife coming to church. How your wife gets down from the car and starts leaving you, I know there is trouble at home. So prayer should not be a public show. Number two, prayer should be a private affair. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray according to Jesus, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The most intimate communication between me and my wife is done in private. We don't do it in public. It's done in private. If you know how to spend quality private time with God, it shows how much deeply you love Him. Oh yes, Mommy and I can talk for a whole day. A whole day we don't get tired. Sometimes we'll be talking, the children will come to our bedroom and she said, no, I'm talking to my husband. You guys go. Just go. You know, Jesus said, if you want to pray, go to a private place. Close the doors, close the windows, spend time. I want to hear from you alone. I love you so much that I want this just me and you. But hear this. Hear this. You know, sometimes in a church like this, it can still be private. Close your eyes, close your ears, and pray. It's important in corporate prayer. But hey, God is going to listen to us individually. Individually. Am I sharing the gospel with you? Am I sharing the gospel with you? I've already established the importance of prayer. I've already defined prayer in the context of relationship, in the context of marital relationship. And I'm saying that one of the most important ways to communicate with the person you love is in private. I'm not saying you can pray in public, but you must build more of your prayer life in private. I told you how I spent 5 years praying every 2 a.m. for my family. And I love those times, waking up at 2 a.m., walking on the streets to go to a park to pray. It was crazy. It was crazy. Some of you be imagining, how can a boy in your teenage do these things? Just get up at 2 a.m. every day and walk through the dangerous streets of Accra to go to a park in thick darkness, no electricity, no light, and be there and pray? How is this possible? Oh, you haven't fallen in love before. If you have genuinely fallen in love before, you will realize that looking for your lover at midnight is no story at all. How many of you have experienced that before? Yes, yeah. The lobby is here. When you used to date your late husband, midnight walks. 1 a.m., you'll be walking to look for him. Yes. Yes. Okay, number 3. Prayer should be a personal affair. Prayer should be a personal affair. Matthew 14, verse 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Jesus was a very popular preacher. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers. And so he was a very famous preacher. And sometimes he was so busy. But guess what? Most of the times, he will take time off his busy schedule, off everyone, off everybody, and spend a personal time with God. I love my wife. We do most of our things together. But sometimes I tell her, honey, I want to be away for prayer. Sometimes she tells me, I want to spend some time in prayer today. I don't want to meet anybody. I say, not even me. Say, yes, yes. When it comes between me and God, you are a second in the line. And she can spend the whole day, doors locked, with the Lord to have a personal time with God. Sometimes I'll finish praying with her and I say, honey, I want to continue prayer. So if you excuse me, I want to spend a personal time with God. Jesus taught that, and he showed it. He showed it. He had disciples that he loved, but it wasn't all the time that he prayed together with the disciples. It wasn't all the time that he had dinner with the disciples. He felt that my relationship with God is personal, and sometimes I want to have a strong personal time with the Lord. See, most of us, we are influenced by people around us. Oh, this guy didn't go to church today, so me too, I won't go. You know, sometimes you can call your friend. Are you in church? Oh, I'm not going to church today. Oh, then me too, I'm not going. The Christian life is a personal relationship with the Lord. Personal relationship with the Lord. And Jesus showed that. Popular man, 5,000 people at his crusade. 5,000 men only. They didn't count the women. They didn't count the children. Very popular man. But yet, spent personal time with the Lord. Every house I build, I always have my prayer chamber where I can spend personal time with the Lord. It's very important and very crucial. If you want to become a successful Christian, and if you want to build a very strong relationship with the Lord, make your Christian life a personal relationship with the Lord. Number four, prayer is a preventive affair. It's a preventive affair. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is Jesus himself speaking to us. Watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation. Okay? So Jesus says, now, the more you pray, the more you avoid temptation. Can I show you how dangerous temptation is? Can I see the next slide? In the Bible, temptation implies a situation or an experience that tests a person's loyalty, faith, or commitment to God. And for your faith and commitment to be tested for you to pass, you need to have regular, keep a consistent prayer life. Pray consistently. Don't wait until you have a need. When you talk to somebody you love, always because you have a need, the person begins to doubt your love. So you fast because you have marital crisis. You pray because you have financial crisis. That should not be the only reason why you pray. You pray because you love him. Get up in the morning and say, hello, Jesus. Are you there? Hey, this is your lover. I'm here. I want to talk to you, Jesus. I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. I want you to help me to please you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to dedicate my life to you. Those should be the content of your prayer. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things will be added to it. I haven't asked the Lord for wealth before. I have not asked the Lord for houses. I have not asked the Lord for cars. The content of my prayer has always been, Lord, help me to serve you. Improve my prayer life. Improve my Bible study life. Help me to work for you. Help me, help. And people look at me and say, you are always doing something for the Lord. You are always running one conference or the other because I ask him. And when you ask him, he will respond. Next year, we are doing I+. In January, we are doing lockdown. We are doing 3 lockdowns next year. And next year, I'm taking ready for the master's youth to the next level. You know, and it's going to be conferences almost every month. Why? I said, Lord, use me. Let me be a vessel for you. And I've been praying these prayers since I was young, a young man. And I look at my life today, say, Lord, I never ask you for a car. I never ask you for a house. I never ask you for wealth. But you have blessed me. You have blessed me indeed. Because when somebody is sure, I have no doubt of mommy's love for me. So everything we have, we own it together. We own it together. But when somebody doubts your love, the person cannot entrust you with his wealth. Every investment mommy has, I am aware of it. I have money here. I have investment here. I have this year. I have this year. I have this year. Every property, we have built them together. We have our names together on it. You know why? Because we are sure of the love. I can trust her with my wealth. She can trust me with her wealth. Can God trust you with his wealth? There are women who don't trust their husbands. So they are building without the knowledge of their husbands. They are investing without the knowledge of their husbands. Because this is a man who doesn't talk to me. The only time he talks to me is when he wants to have sex with me. The lady doubts your love. The lady doubts your commitment to her. And there are men who also doubt their wives, their commitment to them. They are also doing things privately. Are you sure God is sure that you love him? You love him so deeply? Show it by your prayer communication, by your love communication. This week from Monday, we are meeting here to pray. Don't pray because you feel like. You don't talk to your lover because you feel like talking. You talk to your lover because it's the foundation of building strong relationships. Prayer is not a feeling. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. Muslims pray 5 times a day. It's not a feeling. The Jews pray 3 times a day. It's not a feeling. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. It's a calling. Okay. Can we go to the next slide? Adam and Eve fell into temptation, and we all know the consequences of that decision. Cain fell into temptation. He killed his brother. And he was cursed by God, driven away from the presence of God. King Saul fell into temptation. He made an offering he was not supposed to make. And you saw the consequences of that. King David fell into temptation. He slept with someone's wife and put the person at the front line of war for the person to die. And the consequences were dire. Absalom died because of that sin. His daughter was raped because of that sin. So the consequences of falling into temptation is so great. And that is why we pray. We pray, we ask him, Lord, help me order my steps. Order my steps, Lord. Help me to stay focused. Help me to serve you. Help me to stay pure in your presence. And when I see people who feel that the Christian demand on character and behavior is too much, it tells me 2 things. You are either not too much in love, and number 2, that you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to help you. God knows that his standard is high and you can't meet it. So he gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you become a better Christian, and you do that through prayer. I've been born again for 41 years. Every day in that 41 years, I have read the Bible. Every day in that 41 years, I have prayed. Not because I'm a pastor, but because the Holy Spirit is helping me. May the Holy Spirit help you that same way. Number 5, prayer should be a partnership affair. Prayer should be a partnership affair. Luke 9:28. After 8 days, Jesus said this. He took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. So even though prayer sometimes must be personal, sometimes you need prayer partners. That's the way I learned how to pray. When I was growing up in a church, I wasn't friends with those who gossip. I wasn't friends with those who didn't like serving the Lord. I wasn't friends with those who were criticizing the church and criticizing pastors. No. My friends were prayer warriors, people who loved Jesus. And I learned prayer by observing people who are more matured than me in Christ. So if you come to a church like this, look for people who are praying. Build partnership with them. You will find that is something I'll teach next year. It's called a zoology. No, it's called the church is a zoo. The 21 animals you can find in every church. One of them is a snake. Those who are snakes, they are poisonous. They poison the church atmosphere, you know. But you can find those who are dove, who are doves. They are pure. They are spiritual. They have the Holy Spirit on them. Look for those people. We have those who are lions. They are bold. They are courageous, and they take on massive work for the Lord. There are those who are dogs. They will always go back to their vomit. So when you come to a church like this, look for those that can help you grow in your spiritual life. Jesus, at one point, needed his disciples to join him to pray. Okay? Then number 6, prayer should be persistent. Prayer should be persistent. Prayer should be persistent. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. With a parable about the widow and the wicked judge. Consistent communication. Prayer must be persistent and must be consistent. Pray continuously. Pray always. Pray continuously. And finally, prayer is not a pontification of oneself before God. I hear people go before God and say, Lord, I'm a good tither. I've been serving you and I want to do things for me. No. Jesus said this, Luke 18, 10 to 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He will not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God has not dealt with you according to your iniquities. No man would have been able to come into his presence like this if he had decided to judge us according to our iniquities. So no one has the right to come before God and place a demand on God based on what you feel you have done right. It is by mercies. It is by grace that we can approach him. That we can come before God and approach him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause you to excel from all front. I pray for you right now that let your prayer life be revived. Let the Lord Jesus help your prayer life to be revived. I pray for you that the hand of the Lord will rest mightily upon you, that you will find grace for prayer, that you will find favor for prayer, that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you to pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Father, we come before you with humble hearts. We ask you to forgive our weaknesses. We ask you, Lord, to forgive our sins. We ask you, Lord, to revive us again as a church and as individuals. Give us the grace to wait upon you. Give us the grace to pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we have prayed. Amen. Give the Lord praise, every one of you.